Great. Is Kula there or to take
shall
the
I do
role?
Roll call? Shall I do roll call for you, Jeff?
Oh, Glenn, sure, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the TDP call on the 7th of October. And on the call, we have Jeff Newman, James Bladel, Korea, Alex Kakuru, and David Maher. And for staff, we have Marika Koenig, Margie Meinem, and myself, Glenda Sengevi. Thank you, Jeff. Over to you.
Thank you very much. This is Jeff Newman, chair of the PDP work team. I want to thank everyone for coming on, and special thanks to the policy staff who is in the midst of their retreat. And I know that there may be limited time, so we'll try to keep this call to an hour and see how much we can get through. Marika already has her hand raised. Yes, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to point out, the limited time I think is more to do with the council call that will be starting shortly after this call finishes. But what I wanted to point out is that the public comment period closed on the 30th of September, and actually in between the time that I moved it to the awaiting summary section, I actually noticed yesterday that Mary Wong has posted a number of comments. So for the next meeting, because they basically follow as well the model of the other comments, that they go through the different recommendations and made suggestions. So my proposal would be to insert them throughout the public comment review tool for the next meeting, but it might mean that we have to go back on some of the items where she provided comments. And then before the next meeting, I also hope then to post that and close the public comment forum officially.
Okay, and I'll go through those as well to see if the comments cover things that we've already discussed or if they add anything new. If they just cover what we've already discussed, then we may not have to go back and discuss it again. But if it adds a new twist to it, then we will go back. Aubrey?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that Mary got her comments in and that I will be sending in the NCSG's endorsement of her comments. Even though I know I've missed the deadline on it, but she got the comments in last minute, and we had to take a couple more days to get the NCSG to basically, endorse them. So they will be endorsed as NCSG comments, even if I haven't
Great.
Gotten that in yet. Thanks.
And then maybe, Aubrey, you can help us, too, then, if you could go through the comments and see whether it adds anything new or a new twist or... because even her comments may just reflect some of the discussions we've already had. I don't want to go over old ground if it doesn't really add anything new or just support something that we've already said. So if I could ask you that favor to help out and see if you can do that.
I will try, but I'm just not sure with the things I've already signed up to do and all a bunch of other groups that I have that much time between now and the next week to actually do that in any sort of informed way, but I'll try.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Marika?
Yeah, if I can just clarify, this is Marika. Is it okay that in the public comment summary and analysis that I just put that the comments were submitted by Mary Wong on behalf of the NCSG or endorsed by the NCSG?
I think the best would be to say submitted by Mary Wong and endorsed by the NCSG.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. And then, Marika, if you have those in front of you, and you could just, as we go through these later numbers, I think we're on page 20 of the public comment review tool. If you happen to see any comments from her on these items that we're discussing today, if you could just interrupt and bring them up.
Okay.
If that's easy to do.
Yes.
So recommendation, we are on recommendation 39, which is on page 21 of the review tool, and page 101 of the initial report. And this is basically where we have recommended that the GNSO Council is responsible for the board report either as author of the report or to approve the report before it's sent to the board. That was our recommendation. And then it says that the PDP work team discussed at length the current practice of ICANN policy staff submitting a separate report to the board, which is never disclosed to the community, noting that this is not directly related to the PDP, and unanimously believe that this practice should no longer continue. Reports on PDP should be delivered from the GNSO Council directly to the board, and if any summaries are needed, that should be the responsibility of the Council with the help of the working group if necessary. The PDP work team has discussed ways in which to make the report more focused and easier to digest, but has not agreed on a possible recommendation in relation to this issue and hopes to receive further input. Okay. So the ALAC strongly supports the recommendation. INTA's view is that staff should be allowed to provide its opinion in an open and non-confidential manner. Staff may be in a better position than most to decipher positive and negative suggestions and recommendations and should be heard in this capacity. And then the RYSG, the registries, suggests rewording it along the lines of, quote, reports on PDP should be delivered from the GNSO Council to the board, and any summaries needed should be approved by the Council after consultation with the working group. This would more clearly allow the Council to enlist GNSO policy staff for preparing and delivering summaries and reports while still leaving approval of such to the Council. In relation to the last sentence, it says that detailed background and supporting information can be referenced as appendices or attachments. So, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Mary Wong also has a comment in relation to this recommendation. She states all reports to the board should be public. ICANN staff may be requested by the GNSO Council to assist in providing summary and analysis to the board, but as recommended by the work team, ultimate responsibility for the content of such summary and analysis should lie with the Council, who should work with the relevant working group to determine the need for and extent of ICANN staff assistance.
Okay, so it sounds like Mary's comment is in line with the INTA comment and also in line with the registry's comment, and so does anyone think, since it seems to be highly supported, would anyone object to changing some of our language, much in the way that Mary and the registries have requested, to basically say that, you know, our language may seem a little restrictive in the sense that it almost says that we don't really care about what staff's report is. I don't think that's what we intended. I think what we intended is, sure, we'd like staff to have their input and have their thoughts, but it should be done in an open and transparent manner and should be ultimately reviewed by the Council and the working group if necessary before it goes to the board. Avery?
Yeah, I think there's two different things. I think there's between the Mary NCSG and registries on the topic of the analysis that is the final report, I think there's that, yes, we should update our thing to basically reflect that opinion. I think there was also an additional element, I guess it was the ALAC statement, about the staff could also have its own opinion on the work. And I think that needs to be transparent. That's something that wouldn't need to be reviewed by the GNSO. Of course, it could be responded to by the GNSO or the working group or anyone else. So I think that there's two things to be covered. One is, you know, the staff's assistance in final report, and that final report is reviewed and approved by GNSO Council. And then there is separately, you know, staff being in a very good position, better than most, to give, you know, an outlook on what they think of the report, what they think of the labor or expenses or what have you related in whatever actions would be caused. And I guess I've been watching the ARIN meeting lately and seen a very good division between the report and the staff evaluation that says, and this will cost us this much extra work type of statement that I thought was brilliant. So, and that those things should be transparent and visible as they were in the ARIN meeting, and also even commentable upon but that they're two different things that we should balance and allow.
So I think that's a really good summary, and I think that's in line with all of the comments. Does anyone disagree with that, with what Avery's saying? Okay, and Avery, if I could just add one thing to that, which is everything should be done in an open and transparent manner. I think where there is certain, with hopefully not it being abused, but I do think in certain circumstances there may be legal advice that I can, legal or outside counsel, wants to present to the board that may not be able to be in an open and transparent. I think there should be some wiggle room, but not too big of a loophole, that legal advice or other things that are that reasonable people would deem to be confidential should probably be able to be conveyed. But I don't want to make that loophole so big that everyone saw what was redacted from the papers in Brussels. I think they posted it. And that may be a little bit too broad discretion of what we really want to give, but we kind of do need to recognize that there may be certain things that present legal risks to ICANN as an organization that may not be appropriate for full disclosure.
Can I comment on that?
Avery, then Alex, and James.
Okay. I think that is a very valid exclusion. The only thing that I think that kind of exclusion demands is that there be a statement made saying confidential advice was offered by ICANN Legal on this issue. And it was confidential, and perhaps a sentence as to... In other words, I think it's fine for staff to give on occasion confidential advice, but it shouldn't be invisible that it was given. It should be transparently noted that there was something given that you're not seeing. And that means that the board is then in a position of looking at that advice that was given non-transparently, and as the keeper of transparency and accountability can sort of, say, hey, guys, you're putting a little bit too much in this bucket instead of in that bucket, if such needs to be said. And so I think that piece of it, if that's crafted into, would be a good thing. Thanks.
Great. And I think that's a really good clarification. Let me see. Margie has her hand raised. Do you want to offer a clarification too?
I was trying to follow up on what Avery was saying. Are you, Avery, suggesting that it would be on an issue basis that there'd be a statement that confidential legal advice was made? Because if that's the case, I think that might be problematic from a privilege issue. Even the fact that there was advice given on, say, whatever, competition or pricing or whatever could expose risk from a legal standpoint. So I wouldn't mind a general statement, that legal opinion was given with respect to the issue, but not be specific on what the issue was.
Avery, you want to respond to that, and then I'll get to Alex and James?
Yeah. I think we're in a fuzzy space here. I think it should be possible to describe in general terms the general area of the advice without causing risk, because you're saying nothing in that statement that says whether it was positive, negative advice, whether and of what sort it was. So, but I admit there's probably a fuzzy border. Thanks.
So perhaps a recognition of, in the statement of that ICANN staff should indicate that confidential privileged advice was given, and provide as much detail as possible without ruining the attorney-client privilege or some
to the extent possible without
right
right yeah.
right okay Alex and then James.
Right. I think it's okay for staff to have a strong opinion. I think we should also let people know that perhaps it's even in their terms of reference for the job descriptions they were hired to do. So that is really not the problem. I think what the issue should be is that in our earlier discussions, we went as far as saying that policy staff, if they have a very strong opinion, they would have given their input during the work group deliberation. So I think it should come out clearly that what we are trying to avoid is possibilities of staff maybe diverting a PDP, so that the input is required and it's also required throughout the same way we have been working here. And so it should not be so strong when it is not disclosed at the end of the whole process. That is really what we are trying to correct with that. However we can phrase it, but that's really what our objective should come out clearly on that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And then James?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. This is James speaking. And I just wanted to, I had a few things to say, but I think I'll just summarize by saying I support a lot of what Aubrey is saying, and want to be clear that I think the danger here is the organization keeping some processes and information opaque under the guise of that it's privileged or confidential when, you know, it may not be appropriately claimed. And I just think that the real danger there is that that is abused. So I think I support a lot of, if I had to choose a position, I would say it was closer to what Aubrey was saying earlier.
Okay, so I think we got where everyone is. And I think, so we're going to make all of those statements, and I do think that the group should look at this and look at the notes that are taken and make sure that we have language in there saying that we understand why this exception may be needed, but we're concerned, as James said, we're concerned about the privilege being too widely used, and strongly recommend that privilege is used only in cases where it's absolutely necessary, and in such a case, a general statement be made to the extent possible that privileged advice was given, and in very general terms on the subject matter, to the extent possible without destroying the privilege. Okay. Alex, is that a new hand or is that left over? All right, I will assume that it's left over.
Sorry, Jeff. I forgot it was left over. Yes, I've lowered my hand. Thanks.
That's okay. It happens. I do that all the time, too. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. Recommendation 41 is the next one, and I'll ask Marika, if you have your hand raised, is there something before that?
Yeah, this is Marika. Mary has a comment in relation to recommendation 40, which talks about the agreement of the council. The recommendation itself says the PDP work team has discussed whether the voting thresholds might need to be reviewed to also overarching issues, but has not arrived yet at a possible recommendation in relation to this issue and hopes to receive further input on this issue during the public comment period. In Mary's comments, she refers back to G comments related to recommendation for council voting, in which she states, although not presumably within the scope of this work team, it should be noted that the actual procedures regarding absentee voting in the GNSO council operating rules are currently being clarified. The work team should take note of the official interpretation, if any, of the pertinent part of the rules and review whether or not to revisit this issue in light of it.
So in light of those comments, and I have to admit I'm not as up to speed as to what those new rules are, maybe for a future meeting so we don't miss this comment, if you could, if we could put that on the agenda to discuss what those new rules are, and then see if we want to opine on any of them, at least with respect to a PDP.
Okay.
Okay, and is there, so then the next comment is on 41, which states, I'm scrolling to it, we're on page 106 of the report. The PDP work team recommends that the provisions in relation to the board vote in the ICANN bylaws remain essentially unchanged, noting that a clarification might be required, provision 13F, to clarify what ACT means. And that, just to remind everyone, we had a long discussion on this. In any case in which the council is not able to reach GNSO supermajority vote, a majority vote of the board will be sufficient to act. See also overarching issues, section 8. And section 8, where would that be, Marika, on the report?
I would need to check.
While you're checking, the comment came in the Brussels meeting that says, should there be a board vote for recommendations that are not changes to existing recommendations for new consensus policies, recognizing that a PDP might have different outcomes? I'm kind of confused by that comment. I'm not really sure what that means. Just reading it again here. Should there be a board vote for recommendations that are not changes to existing or recommendations for new consensus policies, recognizing, Marika, do you remember what that comment was?
Yes, this is Marika. I think this is in relation to if the council adopts recommendations that are not, you know, new consensus policies or changes to consensus policies, does the board still need to vote on those? Or I think, and that's actually an issue we've you know, discussed internally as well, and you know, we haven't really a clear answer there either. Is if a PDP working group comes at the end of the day up with a recommendation for best practices, for example, is that something that needs to be adopted by the board, or is it sufficient that the council adopted and, you know, we just implement it? There have been certain instances where, for example, I think on one of the IRTP working groups, there was a recommendation to put out an advisory, not, you know, no change to the consensus policy, but put out an advisory to clarify some of the issues. You know, that was basically just done, and no, you know, further vote was carried out by the board on those issues. So that's a bit the question, and I don't think it's anywhere specifically stated in the PDP, and it's a question, should we maybe clarify that now, whether recommendations that are not consensus policies or new consensus policies, should those go formally to the board, you know, for a vote, for information, or there's no need as the council has oversight over those issues?
Okay, that's a good question, one we have not really tackled. Does anyone in the group have any thoughts on that? So should those types of things go to the board for approval? Does the board have to approve the report, even if it's not necessarily a change? Aubrey? Aubrey, you may be on mute.
I think so. I'm not quite sure what the board should have to do about it. It should definitely go to the board. They should definitely have to at least acknowledge the act. And I think in their role as oversight, even on a recommendation that is not, you know, contract affecting, they should probably have to approve or disapprove it. I don't see why that wouldn't be the case.
And this is Marika. I mean, the follow-up question would then, of course, be, do we need to develop a similar process as we have for adoption of consensus policies? Like, what if the board then, you know, overrules and doesn't approve? Should we then, you know, follow the similar way that, you know, the board can write a note and the council can come back? And there's a, do we need to write that out in a similar way as is done for normal consensus votes, or should a different kind of process apply in this case because it's not consensus policies?
Yeah, this is Aubrey again. I would think so. I would think it would be the same because often those things are recommending some perhaps practice to staff or some practice the registries or registrars, and if the board thinks, for whatever reason, that this practice is ill thought out and sends back issues, the GNSO should instruct the group to, you know, rethink or to explain why, you know, whatever questions were asked, you know, don't merit changing the recommendation. So I would think so.
So in taking taking my chair hat off and giving a personal opinion, I think I have to agree with Avery in the sense of, as you know, something Avery said, struck a chord. There may be recommendations for staff to do certain things, that this PDP process is not just for contracted parties. It's for ICANN staff. It's for general things that the community, the GNSO community, wants to see done, either by best practice or otherwise. And I do think that there may be an obligation for the board to review those and for the it to go through a similar process. I'm not sure why it would be any different. Marge, you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that thought. You know, there could be recommendations, for example, that staff conduct research, you know, and that might have a cost implication. So I think I agree with what you and Avery are saying, that it probably makes sense to send the whole thing up, and because then that gives staff the direction to go ahead and take the steps, these other steps that were recommended in the report. And it would seem weird, you know, to just have the GNSO be the only place that decides that. It, you know, and I think it would be an appropriate supervisory role of the board.
So can I ask a question? I know this is not subject to a PDP, but let's take WHOIS, for example. The fact that the GNSO Council, let's say it was the recommendation, let's say it came out of a PDP that was recommended to do these four studies. So we're pretending it came out of a PDP. I think, Margie, what you're saying is absolutely right. That would need to go to the board to approve those expenditures and to go forward with those. And that does have nothing, that really doesn't have anything to do with changing at this point any contract. So I think we're all in agreement. Alex, you want to add to that?
Yes, I was saying, in addition to things like expenditure, I already mentioned, subjecting the reports to board approval the same way adds to authenticity of whatever recommendation is meant to achieve. And so it also has community buy-in, because then it's given the due process like everything else. Imagine if the board just were to, or any other party were to just come up with recommendations, they're implemented. They risk causing more discomfort among the entire community than if it was subjected to that process. Thank you.
Okay, so I mean, I think that's a good point, and that if Alan were here, he'd make the same point about the board bringing, you know, brings authenticity to the process, and it really gives it, is one of the reasons why something goes through the PDP in the first place, is really to get the board's view and either stamp of approval or not. So I think that's a really good point. If we want to move on then to 4.2, Marika, sorry, I should probably stop and make sure, Marika, you have all the, have all that?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Marika, just jump in if we're going too fast or if you need us to, you need clarification.
Yes, Marika,
okay.
Yes, I will. And again, I hope that people just review the notes after they're written up and then provide me feedback if I've missed anything.
Okay. Excuse me, sorry. Recommendation 42 states that the PDP recommends creating a working group implementation review team, which would be responsible in dealing with implementation issues. The PDP work team has not arrived yet at a possible recommendation in relation to how the process for reviewing and addressing implementation questions would work. Hopes to receive further input on this issue during the public comment period. But here are some comments that we've gotten. INTA agrees with the recommendation to create an implementation review team as it will ensure that policy is implemented as agreed to in other stages of the process. The registrars have no objection to this recommendation, but it should be considered in the context of the registrar's other comments about an overtaxed staff and volunteer community. The registries have, I'm sorry, not the registries, at the Brussels meeting there was a question that said, should there be a provision for when a sub-element is determined not to be final or not to be finished in terms of its policy implementation, and that sub-element needs to be returned to the council for further work. At the same time, if there's a certain oversight by the council working group on implementation, how can you avoid stakeholders trying to influence the implementation process? Appropriate safeguards would need to be in place to avoid gaming, potential concerns with working group transforming into implementation review team, antitrust concerns, and the staff should be responsible for implementation. And the registries support the idea contained in the first sentence of the recommendation and suggest that the recommended composition of such review team be made in the working group final report. The review team then could serve as an ongoing resource for the council and ICANN implementation staff. Marika?
That is Marika, a comment from Mary Wong on this recommendation. A working group implementation review team would likely facilitate implementation efforts and could act as the main conduit between the GNSO Council and ICANN staff charged with the actual implementation of adopted policy recommendations. If a working group has included implementation recommendations as part of its report, the implementation review team should ensure that these recommendations are either followed or amendments departures from them justified. In addition, ICANN staff should consult regularly with the team and update it frequently on the status of implementation efforts, as well as refer questions that might raise policy issues to it promptly for review as to whether these should be referred to the council.
Okay. So Mary's got some really good comments in there, as actually all the comments are really good. So what about the notion, let's start with some smaller points. What about the notion that the working group, that we don't determine what the composite, we as being the PDP work team, are not recommending how each implementation review team would be composed, but that we believe it's something that the working group, in delivering its final report, should provide some guidance as to the composition of, as to whether an implementation team should be set up and recommend what that composition of that team would be? People generally think that's a good idea? Or let me ask, does anyone think that's a bad idea? Okay, so hearing no comments, I think why don't we put it in there that that would be something recommended for the working group to opine on what they believe a composition of an implementation team should be. Alex?
Yeah. Earlier on, hadn't we said that there might be a standing committee, or what had we said? I remember in one of the calls we had mentioned of having a standing committee on implementation. Maybe I'm not, I'm misremembering what we had said. Well, are we saying now we have the work groups commending their own compositions? Just want to be clear. Thanks.
Okay, so if we go back to the report, that's a good question. This is an implementation team, I believe, after the board has already voted on it. Right, so the board has decided to go through with it or to go forward with the recommendation. So this is after the process. I think so. It's kind of important to note that here's the comments that we had in our report. Most agreed that this should be clarified. Here's the current bylaw provision says, upon a final decision of the board shall, as appropriate, give authorization or direction to the ICANN staff to take all necessary steps to implement the policy. So we've already recommended that implementation advice be provided in a final report to the extent possible? And we've already talked before about some limitations to that, but this is after the board now has approved the policy as final or approved the report as final and then direct staff to implement it. Now we're talking about the creation of an implementation review team to make sure that staff is implementing it in a manner in which was envisioned by the report or by the working group, by the council, and ultimately by the board who approved it. So with that, we said most agree that this should be clarified, that statement in the bylaws. Some suggested that a mechanism should be developed by which, if a number of different implementation options are identified, I'm assuming by staff needs to come back to the council for a review or assessment to determine whether it's consistent with the policy recommendations or whether additional policy development work needs to be undertaken to provide further guidance or clarity. It was pointed out that there are different views as to where the dividing line is between policy and implementation. It was noted that often unanticipated questions, issues arise during the implementation phase, and in those cases it would be important for staff to reaffirm that the proposed implementation is in line with the policy recommendations. At the same time, it was suggested that staff shouldn't be unnecessarily constrained in developing the implementation plans. Most agree that there should be a mechanism, which is 73% of the survey respondents. The question was raised who staff should involve when questions arise during implementation. Most agreed that as the manager of the process, the genus or council should be responsible for addressing the issue either by reviewing it itself or delegating it to the working group or other ad hoc group. In such cases, the GNSO Council should decide whether the proposed implementation plans are in line with the policy recommendations or whether further work is needed. And, sorry, I'm reading this whole thing. It was suggested that at the end of the process, the working group would be asked to designate a few individuals to remain as an implementation review team that could be consulted or tasked by the council should implementation questions arise. So that's where it came from, that the council would, if there are, we're recommending that if policy issues come up during implementation, they should be referred back to the council, and the council would like, and then our recommendation is the council should not on its own make these determinations, but should have a resource being former members of the working group to be available as a resource to council to help the council in assessing whether staff's proposed implementation is in line with the policy recommendations. So that's what we're talking about. So Alex, a long way of saying, I don't think it's a standing committee, but it's more this one. I think there is a standing committee we recommended to review the PDP process in general, but this is with respect to a specific PDP. And with that, the recommendation was, should there be policy issues, it should be some remnants of the working group that the council can draw on them for advice.
All right, thanks.
Going back to the comments, I think no one's disagreeing with that. I think the registrars have their overall concern, which has been expressed about not taxing the community so much on because of all the work that's going on. But other than that comment, I think comments were generally supportive of this approach. And the registries really just add that perhaps the working group in the final report should make a recommendation as to who would serve on that implementation team. Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay. Excuse me. Going to recommendations 43 and 44, which I'm trying to find now in, here we go. In the report, page 111, recommendation 43 states, the PDP work team notes that a periodic assessment of PDP recommendations and/or policies important, but has arrived at any possible, I should say, probably has not arrived at any possible recommendations yet, and hopes to receive further input. Again, this is in relation to the overarching issue in general of assessing PDP to determine the effectiveness or assessing the effectiveness of, I'm assuming these are our recommendations, the PDP work team's recommendations. Marika, can you help me out? These are for overall PDPs?
This is Marika. This is part, I think, of the need to review. Indeed, and I think we discussed the both, like, you know, should individual PDPs be reviewed, the outcomes, as well the overall PDP process. So I think there are three recommendations that related to that issue of review of the PDP.
Okay, so 43 is for Now I'm recalling 43 is for individual PDPs. So right now, and this is pretty standard actually in a lot of working group reports now, where that recommend some sort of practice. They also recommend that, you know, a year after, 6 months after, whatever it is, that the after implementation there should be some sort of review of whether the implementation actually, you know, to basically confirm the success or failure, or I hate using the word failure, but we'll just say success of a PDP, and whether the outcomes were anticipated, not anticipated, and whether any changes need to be made based on how it was actually implemented. And I think 44 is, as Marika said, is the overall PDP in general, the PDP process needs to be reviewed. The recommendations we got, or the comments from the INTA, which is the only ones we got on this subject, and maybe, Marika, you can jump in if Mary has something. But it says, providing a policy now on these issues might create an avenue to appeal policy decisions rather than provide meaningful insights. Other aspects of the report already address avenues for measuring whether specific policy implementations are successful. Review can be positive and beneficial, but the multiple layers of review and assessment proposed may be overly extensive and might hinder the PDP process. Okay, I think that's a good comment. Is there anything that we could do to recognize the INTA comment, but also be in line with our recommendations that, you know, maybe we could just say, maybe for an individual PDP, maybe we should say that in its final report, a working group may, or it could be should, I don't know, however you guys want to say it, recommend what steps should be taken down the line to review the success of an outcome. Hard to be really abstract. You have to be abstract because you don't know what a working group is going to recommend. But essentially have the working group in its final report report measures of success and failure and a mechanism for review if that's what they desire. Any comments on that? I think that might not be overly prescriptive in line of in light of the INTA comment, but then also allow a working group to do what it's doing today, which is usually recommending some review period, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever it is later. Alex agrees with that. Anybody else agree, disagree? Okay, seems like there's agreement on that. Good. And then if we jump to comment 45, which is periodic review of the, I don't know who submitted this, Marika, but whoever did it says, periodic review of the effectiveness of the PDP process would probably be beneficial. It may be that this review should be undertaken by threshold number, after a threshold number of PDPs have been completed. And in 45, I think we, okay, so Do we recommend that, Marika, yes, is there a comment?
Yes, Marika, just to know that this was made by the by INTA.
Okay. So, what do y'all want to recommend on this? We could recommend now that it's our view that a work team or working group should be set up, a standing committee should be set up to review PDPs, understanding that the standing committee may not come into existence or may not have much work until there's some threshold of PDPs. Maybe it's just a standing advisory committee that's available to the council when the council deems it fit to ask for advice from this advisory committee. James?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. This is James speaking. And, you know, thinking about this, I may be not understanding the comment properly, but there, I think the bylaws require, and if they don't, the AOC does require periodic reviews of the policy development process and, you know, the structures of ICANN. So is it maybe just not clear that that includes the PDP process as well?
Actually, James, that's a really good point.
It seems like anything we would recommend would be a duplication of other areas. So I would maybe just see if we can find references to those other reviews and respond with that.
Well, so maybe we could cite to that, put that in, because I don't think it's in the bylaws. I think it is in the AOC. I could be wrong as to whether it's in the bylaws or not. But if it's in the AOC, perhaps we could cite to that and then say, and if we have a recommended approach, I mean, do we want this to be the, and maybe we have no say in it, but if it does include the PDP process, do we want it to be, I don't think there's not a review team, right? It's not like the AOC team the accountability review team or the WHOIS review team, or I don't believe it's an official review team. But perhaps we want...
In this particular instance, it is part of the ATRT review team. It's Section 9.1E of the Affirmation of Commitments, assessing policy development process to facilitate cross-community deliberations and effective and timely policy development. I mean, it's kind of broad, and it's just one sentence, but I think, it is mentioned in there that it, you know, that ICANN commits to a periodic review of those...
So it's possible. I mean, I'm not saying we should or shouldn't do this, but in theory, it's possible for us to recommend that the GNSO Council set up a standing working group to assist the accountability review team in doing those assessments, or to provide advice, I guess.
This is Marika. I have a question, because I understood that the ATRT, as such, they deliver their report in December, and then I think they're done. Doesn't the periodic review talk about responsibility for ICANN? I mean, I'm not an expert on the AOC, so I think James there is in a much better position to clarify that.
I don't know that I would say expert, but it says every 3 years with the first such review concluding no later than December 31st, 2010. So it's establishing a timetable. The first one, you're correct, is due at the end of this year.
And just to note on the standing committee, and that's an issue that's already being discussed, and maybe something as well, you know, for you, Jeff, I think I sent you an email on this as the chair of this work team, but also of the PPIC. There's a discussion as well within the OSC where they are already at a stage where certain recommendations are being implemented on whether there is already a need now to create such a standing committee, or whether the steering committees at this stage are the ones that should be responsible for implementation, as you know, they've been the closest involved with developing those recommendations, and that indeed the standing committee would be appropriate once all the GNSO improvements work has finished and it has been implemented. But then the standing committee would indeed be responsible for overseeing all the GNSO improvement-related work and indeed build in or develop a process or a timeline on how to do indeed periodic reviews on all these different issues, like the rules of procedures, working group guidelines, the PDP. So I think, you know, I think it would be good indeed if this group has any specific views on that to state those, but I think it probably should be part as well of a broader discussion maybe between the OSC and the PPSC as well as the council on how to make sure that, you know, there's some kind of oversight and regular review of how all these recommendations are working in practice and then, you know, where further work might be needed and how to deal with that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point and probably one we should cite to in our report as far as we've noticed that with other issues, a need for a standing committee has emerged. And I think that, I mean, we do recommend that there should be a standing committee. The question is whether it's this, I mean, maybe we shouldn't opine as to whether it's the PPSC or whether it's a newly constituted committee. But the recommendation is for such a standing committee. That's what we recommended in our interim report. Alex, I'm sorry. I see your hand.
No worries. Yes, if the drift on the AOC and what our recommendations have been are towards such standing committee to do the review, and in view of this comment, perhaps the chair, of course, with staff Marika, and, could just look further, maybe a talk with the team on the AOC and find other links that suggest also, as we are doing, with a view to changing the bylaw to include that team, so that it's actually firmly embedded on the bylaws, is thought, because it looks like everybody is in agreement that there is need to review whether it's AOC, whether it's our recommendation earlier, yeah, and whether what the comment 45 is actually saying. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the things I could take off my chair hat for a sec, one thing that concerns me about an AOC team doing the review is that it's the composition is mostly not DNSO people, and it's heavily, you know, it's comprised of, you know, GAC, CCNSO, and other experts. The chair of the board, I'm not sure that's the right group to do any kind of deep dive standing committee review of policy issues. But if your comment is that we should recognize, even the AOC recognizes that these reviews should happen and supports our recommendation. So Alex, you weren't necessarily saying it's the same people, were you? You were just saying that it's just recognized that these reviews should happen, and in support of those objectives, we recommend the creation of a standing committee to look at these issues.
Absolutely. I'm not saying the team. I'm just saying embedding that concept into the bylaws, not the people. So the review, which would be different. It should not be the one that is handling the AOC. Absolutely. I don't think it should be the best group.
Okay. I think since I said this call would go an hour, I think this might be a logical place to stop and do the overarching issues next week. I know everyone will be upset, but I don't want to get into some of these overarching issues when I know we only have a few minutes left. And I want to let staff take a breather before they have to get on the council call. Anyone object to dismissing this meeting a little early?
No problem.
All right.
Nope.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'll talk to you next week, and if we can make sure the GNSO calendar is updated to make sure that it shows every week a call at this time, unless we specifically cancel, that would be great.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, bye.